This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdihi wa nasta'firuh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihi allahu falamudilla lahu wa man yudlil falahadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد عباد الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, his companions and his followers until the day of judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. Ilahana in sabbahnaka aw hamadnak fa anta alladhi 'allamtana. O our Lord, if we glorify you, if we thank you, you're the one who taught us. If we worship you, if we being grateful to you, submitting ourselves to you, you're the one who guided us. Ya ilahana, in dakarnaka aw da'awnak, fa anta alladhi akramtana. And if we pray to you, we praise you, we mention you, you the one who honored us by such thing. So we thank you for in the beginning and in the end. We thank you in private and in public. And we praise you, and praise you in public and in private. And we praise you in the beginning and the end. And we seek your forgiveness. We repent to you. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Ayyuhal muslimun, sumtum 30 yawma, wa qara'tum min al-Qur'ani 30 juz'a, fa'abshiru wa ammilu min rabbin shakurin ghafurin kareem. My dear brothers and sisters, you fasted 30 days. You recited 30 chapters in the Qur'an. You have prayed all the nights, inshallah ta'ala, as we all did during the month of Ramadan. So expect nothing but great reward from your Lord. The Lord who is a grateful and thankful, a Lord who is the most forgiving, the Lord who is the most generous, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we're celebrating the Eid al-Fitr, has come to you, the day of happiness and joy. So my dear brothers and sisters, enjoy your Eid. Thank your Lord. Celebrate with your family and friends and make those around you happy. إِنَّهُ يَوْمْ تَسْتَمْتِعُ فِيهِ بِعِيدِكُمْ وَتَشْكُرُ فِيهِ رَبَّكُمْ وَتُسْعِدُ فِيهِ مَنْ حَوْلَكُمْ. أيها المسلمون, لقد فرض الله على الصائم وعلى المسلمين زكاة الفطر طهرة للصائم من اللغو والرفث. وأوجبها على من يجد طعام قوت يومه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صاعا من بر أو شعير أو زبيب أو تمر. That my dear brothers and sisters, my fellow Muslims, Allah prescribes zakat al-fitr upon every one of us. And it's a very interesting that it's prescribed upon everyone who have what is sufficient for him today. So even if he's technically poor, but he has what it cover him today, and he has extra money or extra food, should share it with someone else who don't. So the scholar said even the poor people will be giving to each other. And the only reason for that, it is to teach every member in the society to be upper hand at one point, to be a giver, to learn how to give even when you have very little to offer. And that's a spirit that in Islam want to see on us, want to make sure that we take the responsibility toward each other. So, and this Zakatul Fitr, the Prophet ﷺ told us, it is to purify our fast, to purify our fast from any indecent act or speech that took place during the month of Ramadan. Regardless of the difference of income brackets, all of us require to give Zakatul Fitr as long as we can do. So, my brothers and sisters, I hope that every one of us have given it before Eid, and if you don't, you still can make it, and you can give it after Salatul Eid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. The month of Ramadan is a month that we practice every year many different aspects of worship. And whenever you practice something a lot, it means you should be improving yourself. So if you practice how to speak, if you practice certain things, you develop that skill. So let's ask ourselves what we have developed during the month of Ramadan. That you fasted again and again, you've been fasting 30 days. And for so many years, walillah alhamd, you've been reading Quran, you've been making dua. The question is, did I improve my fasting? Did I improve my relationship with Allah? Did I improve my relationship with the Quran? Did I improve my relationship with the Salah? Did I improve my relationship with Qiyam al-Layl, the night prayer? These are all legit questions that we should ask ourselves in the end of Ramadan. Ramadan is a great school that teaches so many things that I would like to share just few with you today. Ramadan and fasting during the month of Ramadan taught us the importance of sincerity. It is based on sincerity. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. You have been ordered by your Lord to worship Him sincerely. إِلَّا الصَّوْمْ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. And in the Hadith al-Qudsi, our Lord said that fasting belonged to me. Nobody would know yesterday if you're fasting or not. The only one truly knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something so private between you and your Lord. And you do it because you submit your will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit yourself to Allah. إِنَّ مَنْ مَعَانِ الْإِخْلَاصِ الْإِسْتِسْلَامِ. One of the meaning of sincerity is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's interesting how that you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do things exactly as He ordered you. Today, if you fast, you are sinning. Yesterday, if you are not fasting, you have committed a sin. It's amazing how one day haram to eat and to drink, and today it is haram not to eat and to drink. It shows you that you are a slave of Allah. You are a servant of Allah. You are a one who submits himself to his Lord. So I hope that meaning will be carried on in other aspects of our life as well. The month of Ramadan teaches us how to perfect our actions. The concept of excellency, مَبْدَأُ الْإِحْسَانِ, is a very fundamental concept in Islam. It is the spirit of the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And it should be the Muslim's attitude to do things not nearly correct, but exactly correct. To do things not almost good, but perfectly good. We break our fast at a specific time. You can't break your fast 5 minutes earlier or 10 minutes later. Exactly at the time you do it. When you fast, it's not about your body. It's not about abstaining from drinking and eating. It's about your whole entire character. It's about your controlling your anger, controlling your tongue, controlling your desires. It builds you from inside and outside. That's a perfection. As-Siyam is Ramadan teach us of Zakat al-Fitr, which is also a purification for our wealth. So it's an act of worship cover all aspects in our life. Our spirituality, our social interaction, and our wealth, to purify our wealth as well and to share it with those who need. Also, one more lesson that we learned during the month of Ramadan, that we felt the responsibility toward Islam. You remember the days when we used to fundraise every night, especially the last 10 nights? and every institute and every organization in America and every mosque in America come to you because they know you, the one who carry them in your shoulder. It is that sense of responsibility towards Islam and Muslims and the Muslimic institutes that we have in our country. We are the ambassador of our religion. We are representative of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the 21st century. Our masajid belong to us. Our institutes belong to us. It is our responsibility to make sure it is supported, it is developed, it functions absolutely good. I hope that this lesson will carry on after Ramadan by not only supporting financially these organizations, but also participating and being part of these organizations. Not to be just someone who is, not to be someone who watches from a distance or act like a customer, but act like a partner and a team player. The month of Ramadan taught us that we are strong when we are bound together. How hard it is to fast outside Ramadan. I don't know about you, but I talk about myself. It's a quite challenge to fast outside Ramadan, especially in the summer days. But it's so easy during the month of Ramadan. How easy it is to pray every day 11 rak'ah, or maybe 21 rak'ah, or 23 rak'ahs. How easy it is to read a juz almost every day. For so many of us, it's not an easy task. But it becomes so achievable, so reasonable during Ramadan. And the reason for that, it is because all of us doing it together. It is all of us fasting, all of us praying. And whenever that sense of jama'ah, sense of collection, that we collectively working together, that's the concept we call at-tawasi bil-haq, wa-tawasi bil-sabr. That we help one another to hold into the religion. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Help one another in what is righteous and good. Can you imagine if that lesson carried after Ramadan? That we all help one another in what is good and righteous. And that requires from us to focus on what will bring us together, unify us as a Muslim Ummah. And to ignore and eliminate and avoid what will divide us as a community, what will break our unity as a Muslim Ummah. My brothers and sisters, Ramadan and Zakat in the end of the month of Ramadan remind us of the rights of the less fortunate among us. فَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Give as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Even the day of Eid when we celebrate and we're happy, we've been ordered not to forget about the less fortunate, the people who are in debt, the people who are poor, the people who don't have food. JazakAllah khair. To give them and to share with them some of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have blessed us with. My brothers and sisters, when we think of poor, please don't only think of overseas. Our country here is suffering from poverty. There's a lot of people in America poor. There's a lot of kids who live under the line of poverty. Even in our neighborhoods, in our state, in our city, there's a lot of poor people need our help as a community. You know, one in every five people in America, one in every five children in America consider a poor kid. One in every five kids in America consider a poor kid. In the state of Texas, it is even interesting as statistics. In the state of Texas, a 10%, almost 11% of our seniors consider poor, live under the line of poverty. In the state of Texas, there is almost 24.6% of children live under the line of poverty. The people of disability, 22% of them live under the line of poverty in the state of Texas. Almost 19% of the women of Texas live under the line of poverty. It's scary. There is the number of poverty in Texas, our state, which is considered a wealthy state. It is scary when you look at these numbers. So we as a community have responsibility toward the society in general. My brothers and sisters, the sixth lesson that I want us to walk today, remembering that good deeds lead to another good deed. What a beautiful thing to see a good deed followed by another righteous deed. ما أجمل الطاعة بعد الطاعة. انتهى رمضان ولكن عبادتنا لم تنتهي لرب رمضان. واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. Yes, Ramadan is over, but our duties toward our religion and our Allah, towards Allah, is not over. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Aqulu ma sami'tum wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum fastaghfiruh. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلا عباد الله. Oh my fellow Muslims, remember that whoever associates other with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the worship, حرم الله عليه الجنة. من يشرك بالله فقد حرم عليه الله عليه الجنة. وأن من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله أدخله الله الجنة على ما كان من عمل. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Allah will never forgive a shirk, any form of shirk, but He is willing to forgive whatever sins less than that. Should all of us realize that the best of all guidance, it is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best example for all of us. إن تطيعوه تهتدوا. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Those who obey the Prophet and the Messenger, they obeying Allah. قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. The Prophet, one of his last advices and sermons, he said, follow my sunnah. وَمَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Anyone invent in the matter of religion, something is not part of it, is not something the Prophet practiced, it is rejected, and it will not lead to paradise. It actually leads to hellfire. It is an obligatory upon all of us as Muslims to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah ﷺ, to love him, to honor him, to believe in him, and to follow him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Not only in the area of the worship, but in all aspects, in our conduct, in our morality and manners. My brothers and sisters, Al-Islam, one of its goals is to build a man and to build a person, a personality that it is what we call a perfect person, to build a society, to build a civilization. That's one of the goals of the Sharia. One of the goals of Islam. Al-Islam doesn't look at humans as only a body filled with desires, but a body and a soul. Also, do not only focus on the soul and the spirituality, and do not recognize the need and the desires that we have as a human. Al-Islam does not focus on the act of worship and forget about the importance of mannerism and character traits. Al-Islam doesn't focus on the individual and forget about the society, or focus on the rights of the society and forget the rights of the individuals. Al-Islam teaches us to build a balance in our life, a balance in our relationship with the Creator and the creation, a balance in how we look at this life and the hereafter, a balance in how we protect the rights of individuals while we're protecting the rights of the collective or the jama'ah or the community and the society in large. My brothers and sisters, we have to make sure that we raise our children and the next generations upon the Islamic manners, upon the principle and the beliefs of Islam. Our centers, our masajid, should not only be limited to accommodate the act of worship of Muslims, but it should go beyond that, to be as centers and places that will contribute to the society in large. It has to be an effective centers in our society. My brothers and sisters, yes, it is important to care for our immediate family, for our own community, but it is our responsibility as Americans and people live in America. We have responsibility towards our country, responsibility towards our nation, our society, to make sure it's protected from what will destroy it from within, to make sure that this society will stay a good and clean and prosper and safe. My brothers and sisters, look at the history of humanity. You will find mainly two reasons behind the fall of any civilization. Two main reasons. Number one is injustice. Number two, immorality. Whenever there is immorality in the society, it collapses. Look at the Romans. When there is injustice in the society, it will collapse. Look at the Persians. That's our responsibility, to make sure that our society stay clean, stay moral, stay good, stay pure, and in the same time, it stay fair and just to everyone. My brothers and sisters, we see today so many form and shape of injustice and immorality in our life growing by the day. And it is all of us responsible collectively as a member of the society to ensure that this is, will not be the case. That's why I encourage each and every one of us to be more active, interact, to have more good and positive impact on the people around you, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in our city, and so forth. And one of the things that I have to mention out as an example of our role in spreading goodness and justice and fairness in society is to make sure that we elect those who represent us, people who believe in such things. And this is one of the most powerful tools we have in this society. And people die for this right, the right to vote, the right to elect. Remember, bad officials only elected when good people don't go vote. When good people don't go vote, bad officials comes in place. My brothers and sisters, we notice in this not only the rise of immorality, but the rise of the concept of liberalism. And I don't want to complicate this khutbah and turn it to a social, you know, studies, a class or talk or a lecture or talk about political science or philosophy. But liberalism is not a bad word in general. Liberalism is a good word in general, but liberalism can carry it with it very dangerous meaning for us as Muslims that we see. Not only as Muslims, but as a society. You have the social liberalism, and you have the classic liberalism. The classic liberalism usually focuses on liberty, while the social liberalism focuses on equality. I mean, each one of them has their own philosophy. We see the rise of the social liberalism in modern days, exactly like what you see in Europe, and that's rising. Basically, the first one, the classic liberalism, is always focused on liberty, to liberate the individual from the control of the government. So there is less government control, less rule regulations, you know, open market, open trade, free, and all these kind of concepts. But social liberalism is focused on the issues and areas that some of them are good, but some of them can be very dangerous. And one thing that I want to mention in this regard, which is social liberalism always empower individuals. And that means that there is nothing it's called an ultimate truth, an ultimate right. Everything is relevant. And because of that, when there is an environment controlled by social liberalism, you will see that this environment, we have no respect for religion, generally speaking. Because religion have a higher authority, go against the concept of equality. It makes the man and God equal. It makes everybody can think whatever they want. Why would they be controlled by someone or by teaching of some religion? And that's a very dangerous. And America always stands out from the Western civilization as a society, lived, believed in liberalism, but the classic liberalism. And the rise today of this social liberalism, something required from us to pay attention. Because if you notice, even our community start affected by that, where people start thinking about being liberated even from that religion itself. My brothers and sisters, I do believe as a Muslim that we should be free from blind imitation. We should be free from just following people based on ignorance with no evidence and no knowledge. But it doesn't mean that we free ourselves from the principles that the Muslim Ummah agreed upon. I do believe we should be free from believing in fairy tales and to be ignorant about our and act with ignorance. We should be educated. But it doesn't mean that we free ourselves from the religion. Yes, I do believe that our mind and intellect should be free to think how we want and to give that liberty for people to think and to be free thinker. But it doesn't mean that we follow desires. And that's the problem that we see rising today. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. On the rise, Islamophobe. On the rise, the attack on Muslims and Islam, that it is growing by the day. And mainly because of this election cycle, and for many other reasons. And I want you to remember this. When you talk about Islamophobes, I want you to understand that the work that has been done by this group, it is an organized, orchestrated effort. It is not a random attack in the media or in the by the politician. It is well organized, well funded, and well supported by so many branches and so many areas in the society. And if this is understood clearly, you cannot counter such effort by random acts. It means we have to have, as a Muslim also, a well-organized, well-funded, well-prepared response to the Islamophobe message in our society. فَالْعَمَلُ الْمُنَظَّمُ لَا يُوَاجَهْ إِلَّا بِعَمَلِ الْمُنَظَّمُ. These are few, but they are loud. Few, but they are growing. And we should not ever rely on that concept that there are few and the majority are not. Because you don't know things how it can go. We must always come closer to Allah. Because if you are with Allah, nothing can harm you. If you take the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. My brothers and sisters, I encourage each and every one of you to document any incident that takes place of racism or attack on Islam and Muslim. Go to CARE. Go to their civil society organization and document this, because documenting it make our case strong. Use every legal aspect you can have to basically get back those who abuse your right or discriminate against you or make fun of your religion or don't allow you to practice your religion. We have to be strong. We have to raise our head up high. We have to stand up tall. We have to have confidence in ourselves. Otherwise, when you bend, people ride your back. On the rise, the act of terrorism. And the sad news that we all, and the shocking news that we all heard 2 days ago, a suicide bomber tried to blow himself up in the Masjid Rasulullah SAW in Medina. It reached that level. The message is loud and clear from this extremist group, that there is no red line, that everything possible. And we should, as a society, and as a community, as a Muslim community, also remember a few points I will end my talk with. When we see the rise of number of attack and globally, that number one, that these terrorist groups and attacks and individuals do not represent Islam, do not represent Muslims around the world, and definitely they do not represent us as the Muslim community in America. We are a peaceful society. We're a peaceful community. We're a good community. We're a contributor community. Not like what our chief police unfortunately said not long time ago, that there is too many Muslims in Houston, he's saying, and that can be a concern. Can you believe a person who would say that about a big community like us? As it is a concern that we are growing in numbers. No, we are a taxpayer. We are an obedient citizen. We are a contributor. We are a professional. We are the most highly educated community among the highest or most high educated community in USA. Walillahi alhamd. We're proud of ourselves. We do need to apologize for the act of some individuals who do not represent us or our religion. Also, my brothers and sisters, we have to be very clear. We have zero tolerance or tolerating any kind of act of violence. Any idea that encourage or inspire violence as a mean of change. We have to be very clear about that. We don't allow, we don't tolerate, we don't sanction any act of terrorism, regardless where it takes place. As for ISIS in particular, Abshiru, the Prophet ﷺ said, anyone want to hurt Al-Madinah, Allah will destroy him as he dissolved the salt in the water. Attacking Madinah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a sign of their end. But I don't think it is only ISIS. It's ISIS, just one name. And when we talk about ISIS, I want to make this crystal clear that ISIS is not the outcome of certain particular ideology. It's not the outcome of the political Islam. It's not the outcome of the Salafis. It's not the outcome of the Ikhwan. It's not the outcome of this group or that group. It's the outcome of the injustice that happened around the world. It's the outcome of destroying a civil society in Iraq and a civil society in Syria without providing an alternative. ISIS members are the outcome of the dictatorship of long-term dictators who are ruling the Muslim world. ISIS is the outcome of so many mistakes and zulm and injustice been done against the Muslim. It is the outcome of the occupation of the land of the Muslim. It is the outcome of the ignorance. Those individuals who lived all their life, the only thing they know is death. They don't know anything about the culture of life and the celebrating of life. All what they saw in the early age, how their friends and their family member killed and tortured and gone and never came back and bombed and been basically destroyed. That's what they raised. What do you expect such generations to be? What do you expect a generation that they don't see any light in the end of the tunnel? The only light maybe they see in the end of the tunnel is the train coming to kill them. That's the major reasons behind the existence of such extreme groups. And if we don't recognize that, we're not going to solve this problem any soon. My brothers and sisters, I don't deny that there is some extreme views and misunderstanding of the religion. But this is our role as a society, as a community, as the Muslim leaders, as the scholars, to counter this. And if this has been said, let me make it also clear to everyone in our community members. The counter of any extreme ideas or extremist group in America or anywhere in the world has to go by two hands. The first one, countering the ideologies. And that's done by the scholars, by the civil society. But also it has to be done by the law enforcement. It has to go both hands. Law enforcement must trust the community. And the community must trust the law enforcement as well. We have to work together if we want to make our place safe. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our community. Because whenever these terrorist attacks take place, it kills us first as Muslims. Many Muslims die, and most of the death happen to Muslims by these terrorist attacks. Then we get the backlash from the outside Muslim community. We targeted twice. I'm not crying, not whining, but I'm just stating a fact. And we will stay strong, because in the end of the day, we know that Allah لا يصلح عمل المفسدين. Allah will never bring success to the corrupt ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting, to forgive our sins. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا وأكرم نزلنا. اللهم إنا نسألك أن ترحم أمة الإسلام. اللهم ارحم أمة الإسلام. اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم إنا نسألك أن ترفع عن إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم ارفع عن إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم ارفع عن إخواننا في سوريا والعراق واجمع شملهم وكلمتهم. اللهم ارفع عن إخواننا في بورما وكشمير وحرر بلادهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم تحت أرض تحت كل سماء وفوق كل أرض ادفع عن كل مظلوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اشف مرضانا واغفر لموتانا وارحمنا برحمتك وأصلح ذرياتنا. والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وتقبل الله منا ومنكم وعيدكم مبارك.